good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thanks for joining us on this last Friday in the month, by the way, September 25th. Wow. In a few minutes, Richard Morrison of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be here. And we're going to talk about climate change cronyism. Climate change cronyism. Our big business is jumping on the green environment bandwagon. So stay tuned for that. And with the presidential debate just 4 days away, will it really make a difference in who wins? Or have people already totally made up their minds? We're going to talk about that and some other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, and parents at a Las Vegas high school get a racially charged survey. We're going to talk about that. It will be part of our campus quackery. Hope you stay tuned for that. And also, in our ultimate top 10, our last show, the top 10 Supreme Court justices with the longest tenure. So turnabout is fair play. The 10 with the shortest Supreme Court lifespans. So stay tuned for that. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best haircutting place in Tampa Bay for my money. You guys have got to get out there. You need to call first for a reservation. You know the rules, 727-733-3773. It's located in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 in Dunedin, 727-733-3773. Okay, well, we got a lot of things going this morning, as per usual. Can't wait for the debate on Tuesday. I just dropped my notes. Hold on just 1 second. It slipped right out of my sticky fingers. But we've also got little concern, I think. This is a kind of a heads up on the coronavirus. It has possibly been mutating a little bit. A new COVID-9 mutation appears to be even more contagious, according to a study. And the so-called experts say it could be a response by the virus to defeat masks and social distancing. Scientists, in a paper published Wednesday, identified a new strain. It accounts for 99.9% of cases during the second wave in Houston, Texas. Now, this is a story in the Washington Post. The paper has not been peer-reviewed, so it's not guaranteed correct. But they suggest, although it's not more deadly, it is more contagious. And it appears to have adapted better to spreading among humans. So we'll see about that. If you can't control it with a mask or social distancing, kind of Katie bar the door, is it not? Hopefully this thing is not mutated. That's the main thing. Very concerning. And we're going to talk a little bit later about the new polls out on whether or not the race is tightening. We'll do that with our buddy Andrew the Master Barber. But in the meantime, you know that Mueller case, that just doesn't seem to ever go away. An FBI official who served on the Mueller team says he thinks the special counsel's prosecution of Michael Flynn was part of an attitude by the whole group to get Trump. Now, this is a guy that was serving on the team. And that he did not, meaning Mueller, did not want to pursue a Trump-Russia collusion because it was not there and a dead end. So they were going after Flynn instead. Let's drop the reason that we got together to do this, which was to find out if the administration was colluding with Russia. Let's forget that. Let's go after Michael Flynn so we can get Trump on something. I'm thinking that's what they were all about. Now, this is an FBI agent. His name is William Barnett. He made the comment during an interview this week at the Justice Department. I'm sorry, last week, Friday. And he made this comment before the assistant U.S. attorney in Missouri. Now, that guy, the assistant U.S. attorney, has been tapped by Attorney General Bill Barr to review the case against Michael Flynn. You remember that there's a judge that just won't let Michael Flynn go, even though the Department of Justice, which was the prosecution, the prosecuting attorney against Michael Flynn, dropped the charges. The judge will not. What a world we are in. The judge is all of a sudden deciding he knows better, and he's going to keep going with it. Well, that's going to get squelched eventually. I mean, Flynn is not going to serve any time in the Hooskow under this judge, I do not believe. And any kind of a jail penalty will be quickly snuffed out by the president because he thinks the whole thing stinks, as do most people. So when we have that debate on Tuesday, Chris Wallace will be the ringmaster or the master of ceremonies leading the discussion. In the meantime, the question is whether or not the beloved son of Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, his name will come up. A report by two Senate committees on Hunter overseas and his business dealings have revealed more questionable goings-on than were previously known. A guy by the name of Peter Schweitzer, he's an author and a researcher, says they put a lot of meat on the bones regarding Hunter Biden. And he said the report by the Senate Homeland Security and Finance Committees had access to the Treasury Department's suspicious activity reports. And boy, were there a lot of suspicious things apparently going on with Hunter. And they were flagged during the Obama administration. And Father Joe was warned about it, apparently. Although Joe Biden says he didn't know anything about what Hunter was doing when he was over there running around, which I think he will be challenged on. We'll see where that all goes. But I just wonder what will happen when Hunter Biden's name does come up, and I think it will, because if Chris Wallace does not bring it up, President Trump, the Donald, will definitely bring it up. Okay, we are going to take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Richard Morrison about what is called climate change cronyism. Sugar.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for joining us on Freedom Works. We are delighted to have back Richard Morrison of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He has penned a piece in the Washington Examiner, I think it was last Saturday, about climate change cronyism. Big businesses tailor policy to benefit themselves at your cost. Richard, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
Yeah, our pleasure. Now, this is kind of, I guess you can nod your head because it's not surprising to me, but the business lobby, the Business Roundtable, which is a group of business executives, are apparently getting together to figure out a way to kowtow a little bit to the whole climate change concern or philosophy. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, the Business Roundtable is an association of CEOs, technically the CEOs rather than the companies or the members. But, you know, they're all the CEOs of, you know, the biggest companies in America, all the, you know, the Amazons, the Microsofts, the, you know, General Electric, that sort of thing. And so they're kind of, you know, very big, sort of big business lobby, a little bit like it's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So they cover all the industries, all the, you know, all the big types of companies. But this new statement they've got addressing climate change sort of lays out what their, you know, their sort of like lobbying strategy is going to be. They obviously want you to think it's a sort of altruistic, you know, laundry list of good things they're going to do for the environment and for society. But it really positions them in a way to get the maximum value from taxpayers and, you know, and things like incentives and tax breaks while sort of pretending to do things for altruistic reasons,
sure.
Which is classic big business lobbying. And it's what people, I think, both people on the right and people on the left get frustrated and annoyed with in Washington, D.C., where, you know, big companies come in, and rather than just competing freely and evenly, you know, their plan is to get Congress and, you know, federal agencies to write them all sorts of special favors.
Yeah, but are we surprised with that? And think about it. You run a huge company. Are you going to come out and say, no, I don't believe in climate change. We think it's a hoax, and things are going to get great. Now, Trump will say that. But if they say that, there goes half their business.
Yeah, I guess it's not entirely surprising, but we don't have to, like, thank them for it either.
No, no.
And so, you know, part of this is to position themselves to say to, you know, people on the left, people who are environmental activists, oh, no, we take your concerns very seriously, you know, and so we're going to work on them really hard, and we're going to go to Washington and work together with, you know, our leaders in Washington and, you know, really, really move forward on this.
Right.
But they're only going to endorse the policies that help them out or that certainly don't disadvantage them over anyone else. You know, and one of the reasons why, you know, we say this all the time, that, you know, it's not true that big business doesn't like regulation. Big business loves regulation. They love regulation that helps them. And so, you know, one of the best things from their perspective they can do is have, you know, a mandatory rule that, you know, hits everyone equally. You know, because some of them are afraid that we'll get, you know, climate change rules in a future administration that will really hurt, you know, energy companies or manufacturing companies or some other subset. You know, but if you pass this, you know, universal rule that increases costs on everyone, all of those cost increases trickle down to the consumer and the taxpayer. And so none of these companies will be any worse off.
Right. Right. I'm thinking, I used to work for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce some years ago. And there always was sort of a dichotomy between them and, say, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, NFIB, which tended to have a smaller employee base, smaller companies generally. And there seemed to be a little bit of tension. I wonder if NFIB is feeling the same way that Business Roundtable, as an example, would feel about climate change.
Yeah, well, I guess when you have smaller companies, you have you don't have as much of a worry about PR because you don't have a big national brand. The sort of, you know, reputational management that these big companies do, they have to worry about what, you know, customers think of them. But increasingly today, they have to worry about what big asset managers and other investment firms think of them. So if, you know, a company runs afoul of the kind of popular view of environmentalism, of, you know, what the environmental activists think that all, quote, good companies should be doing, you know, they also have to worry about whether big companies like, you know, BlackRock and Vanguard and these big asset management firms that own, you know, big chunks of practically every public company, whether they're going to make decisions that have negative impacts on these companies. So, you know, Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, is the largest private asset manager in the world. They've got something like $7 billion in assets. He has said that BlackRock is going to be voting against shareholder proposals and voting against, you know, reconfirming directors to boards of directors if these companies don't move fast enough on their, you know, climate change pledges. And that, more than anything, I think today is what a lot of these people, these senior managers, the big companies, CEOs, like members of the Business Roundtable, are worried about. Certainly in the current administration, environmental activists don't have a huge influence on what, you know, President Trump's outlook, but it's the big money people who are now kind of on the environmentalist side. When you have someone like, you know, BlackRock's Larry Fink coming out and saying climate is, you know, going to be one of our top issues when we determine where to invest.
Right, right, indeed. We're talking with Richard Morrison. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he's written a piece for the Washington Examiner about climate change cronyism. Richard, climate change might have been higher up on the list of priorities had it not been for perhaps the COVID-19 and all of the rioting that is going on around the country right now. Do you think it's going to be a big issue with voters when they go to the polls? Aside from all of the, you know, the CEOs, do the CEOs really need to worry that much about what people think of their stance right now on climate change?
Well, I don't know about right now, but, you know, the job of the CEO is obviously to plan long term, and so they're definitely looking farther down the road. You're definitely right that, you know, COVID-19 and the civil rights protests and riots that have been happening in American cities are definitely pushing something like climate change off the top burner. There was a survey came out, maybe it's a couple months ago now, that said that, you know, a year or two ago, climate change was certainly for Democrats one of the very top issues, and the most recent ranking, you know, of things like, you know, what's most important, education, economy, jobs, public safety, all those things. Climate change was like second to last of, I think, like 11th out of 12th. So that's definitely, we definitely know that it has fallen in saliency. But like I said, these CEOs are planning much more long term because they need to make investments that are going to be paying off in 10 or 20 plus years in terms of, you know, what they're going to be building, manufacturing infrastructure and things like that. So there's a lot of people who are wondering whether the, you know, political control in the United States will change, you know, even in the next few months, much less, you know, 10 or 20 years
right
down the road. So I think that's what they're looking at. And the people who want, say, a carbon tax or really harsh greenhouse gas restriction, you know, emissions on restrictions, restrictions on greenhouse gas emissions, you know, they've been predicting for, you know, the past 20 years that just, oh, it's right around the corner. You know, we had some, like, 10, 12 years ago, John McCain and Joe Lieberman had a bill that, you know, they told us at the time, you know, this is going to, like, we're going to limit emissions and we're going to have emissions trading scheme and carbon taxes and all this stuff. And it was, you know, just right around the corner. So the environmentalists have been trying to say it's right around the corner for years. But of course, the CEOs in the Business Roundtable are concerned that one of these times they're actually going to be.
It's going to be true, yeah. So why now? I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, you know, one of the big advantages, well, you know, one of the reasons why big companies might be stepping forward rather than being dragged into this future is that there are significant advantages to the companies that adopt this first. So if you were one of the first companies to come up with a way that to figure out how, you know, carbon taxes and emission trading is going to be advantageous to you, you get a big jump on the competition. And so the people, you know, and potentially a big PR and political advantage, if it's going to happen anyway, and you're one of the first companies that, you know, walks in and says, you know, yes, we want to work as a partner with you, you're going to be in a lot better position than the company that is the 57th to sign up and does have to be dragged, you know, kicking and screaming. Yeah. So that's part of the reason.
Right. Well, you kind of answered part of the next question I was going to ask you about all this is, you know, why now with all of these other things going on? Does the Business Roundtable release this this new policy document? You know, maybe, well, it's just because they had been working on it. And who would, do you think, is there anyone in particular that's set a fire under these executives to get together and come out with this document?
Well, I think there's a lot of stuff going on in the big business world right now that's pushing people in this direction. You know, ever since 2015, when President Obama signed the United States up to the Paris Climate Agreement, which Trump, of course, has since said he is going to take U.S. out of, there have been, big business groups, just like the Business Roundtable, you know, the executives that gather for the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland every year. The WEF in Davos just put out its own big picture plan for, you know, the future of, you know, capitalism and business. They call it the Great Reset. So that just came out, I don't know, a few weeks ago, a month ago. Like I said, Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, the largest investment management company, had a letter to, you know, shareholders and fellow CEOs. They had a statement in 2019. They had another one in 2020 at the beginning of the year in February before all this corona stuff happened, saying climate's going to be very important, and they're really prioritizing, you know, climate when it comes to their investor engagement with the companies they hold stakes in. So it's not any one, you know, person or entity necessarily that's pushing it, but there's this sort of momentum from different places.
Sure.
Among the big players.
Right. You know, I often, just kind of looking, setting back on it, I often wonder if even if government had never become involved in climate change in the environment, if businesses and the free market itself would have rallied to contribute to solutions like they have, for instance, with these cars that produce less pollution now. All of our cars produce less pollution, and electric cars and everything else. Sometimes I wonder if government actually hinders the advancement towards the solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, one of the problems with, you know, what we call, you know, industrial policy, with the government coming in and trying to decide where, new technology should go in direction A or direction B, is that once the government picks one direction and mandates that everyone comply with it, which often happens when it comes to technologies that used to, safeguard environmental quality, it closes off the other opportunities. No one's going to invest in the alternate version of some technology that the government has already ordered everyone to use. No one's going to use that one. So the kind of the phrase we use in Washington, the picking winners and losers in the economy version of industrial policy that happens, requires some and forecloses off other opportunities. And also, you know, when it comes to distributing, you know, investment capital or, you know, giving things like, you know, low interest loans, which is in effect sort of a, you know, soft subsidy, you know, the federal regulators have a very poor record of, you know, picking people that are actually going to be successful. This has happened at state level, you know, New York State's Economic Development Corporation, you know, they've invested in all sorts of green energy companies that didn't turn out well. It was a bit of a scandal up there. But then also at the federal level during the Obama administration, you know, it $200 million in loan guarantees to a company called Solyndra. You might remember them.
Oh, yes.
Several years back. That was it was supposed to be a renewable energy company, which was sort of turned out to be, you know, sort of Enron-style scam practically, but, you know, collapsed completely. And, you know, the U.S.
Right. There you go.
Government.
Exactly. Richard, is so, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean for to interrupt your...
I said that, you know, the track record of government agencies and you know, trying to pick what the quote right technology is not great. And you know, a market economy's record is, you know, is simply better.
Absolutely agreed. Richard, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul. It's good to talk to you.
All right, sir. Richard Morrison of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Going to take our break. When we come back with the presidential debates coming up on Tuesday, will it really make a difference who wins the debates? Have people locked in? We'll talk about that and some other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes,
hey, we are back and delighted to have our buddy Andrew the Master Barber join us. And there is so much going on, Andrew. I don't know where to begin. First of all, let's pay homage. They are having a lying in state right now for Justice Ginsburg. And in the meantime, Trump goes over there to pay his respects. He gets booed by people outside. What a classless thing that was. We got a debate coming up Tuesday. If they can arouse Joe Biden, he may even show up. What do you think?
People at Disney are working overtime right now. Have you ever been in the Hall of Presidents over there when they had them?
I have not, no.
Okay, well, they had lifelike dolls. The presidents that was at there, they get up there and they speak, and you believe you're the real person was right in front of you.
Yes, so I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. The people at Disney are working overtime, man, putting a Biden doll together, up there.
I think the Biden doll's the one that we've been seeing, don't you?
He's in hiding again, Paul. You know, there's so much going on. I don't believe the debate's even going to happen Tuesday night.
You don't think so? Yeah, you have mentioned that. Well, I
think he's been coughing a little bit. I think he's going to get the COVID on Monday, and that'll carry him through the two debates that he can't show up. But you know what? It's not going to make a difference one way or the other, Paul. People are fed up. Did you see that crowd last night at Trump's rally?
Yes,
over 30,000 people.
Yeah, there is no question. The energy is definitely with Trump. Now, that will go and fight the concern that Trumpers have about these polls. Fox News poll, all of the major battleground states, listen to this now, in Ohio, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Let's just go down them very quickly. This is a Fox News poll. In Nevada, Biden enjoys a 52-41% lead. They say that Hispanics are likely going to vote in favor of Biden in Nevada. He leads also in Nevada by 8 points among seniors, 15 points, 1-5, among women, and 36 points among voters under 35. Now, Ohio, it's a 5-point race, a lot closer. Biden, 50-45% over Trump. Now, in Ohio, men back Trump, women go for Biden. Whites without a college degree go for Trump, by 18 points, by the way. Whites with a degree go for Biden by 7. Let's go to Pennsylvania, which I think could easily be won by Trump again. But according to this poll, Biden over Trump by 7%. Now, Trump narrowly won Pennsylvania, and the whole industry of coal and petroleum and fracking, you would think that helps Trump. Now, I know you're going to say that these polls are skewed, and I tend to think...
You know what I'm going to say, Paul? Out of all those states you run, how many of those states did Trump win the last election?
He won all three of them.
Okay.
I
got those three. He's going to win them again.
I hope
and
so.
And it's even going to be even bigger this time.
Okay. Why is Iowa in play? Do you believe that Iowa would be in play? That's usually a guaranteed Republican victory.
Well, it's all baloney.
Okay.
You know it and I know it. Look
all
at
right.
The crowds. Watch what's going to happen Tuesday. He's in hiding now. Okay, you got his son. I think you're going to see some subpoenas flying.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Because you got his son. I told you in October what's going to hit, brother.
I was watching, as I've said many times, I watch C-SPAN in the morning, sometimes just to get upset, because I think they tend to be too liberal. And somebody got on there, a Trump supporter, said, you know, you're talking about all these different issues. And you want to talk about this thing about Trump and whether he'll leave the White House if he loses. He said, why aren't you talking at all, at least bringing up the story about Hunter Biden?
And
it was a perfect question. I thought, yes. Why didn't they even bring it up? You know why? Because the media is stuffing that thing down the sewer. They don't want to talk about it. Go ahead.
They don't want to talk about anything that's going on, Paul. And like I say, it's going to hit the fan. Right, listen, I still believe that Ginsburg died a month ago, and they had her in hiding, but somebody slipped out.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I'm telling you.
No, you're being funny.
No. I don't trust them for nothing, man. Give me a break. And listen how they're starting to talk bad against now about the mail-in voting. Because
yes.
they're finding bad. The Democrats are saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't be talking this up so much. There's a lot going on, and Trump's going to win by a landslide. We got to make sure we get out and vote. There's no question about it.
All right, why
don't take anything for granted.
Okay. Andrew Ceresi, are you urging everybody within the sound of our voice to go to the poll rather than mail in the ballot?
Yeah, and if you do the right of the mail-in ballot, don't put it in the mail. Take it to the Department of Motor Vehicles, the tax collector's offices. They have a vault right there with two people guarding that vault where you drop that ballot in.
Okay. That's a good answer. Yeah. It's a good answer. I was thinking of just taking my empty ballot to the poll and saying, here, I want a regular ballot. I want to make sure that my vote gets counted because I'm worried about the mail.
Well, just make sure you have your pistol with you when you go to the,
polls,
because you never know the trouble going to be there with these people.
Well, now that scares people away. You don't want to worry about violence at a poll. I've not noticed any violence.
Here
in Pinellas in particular. Go ahead.
Yeah. In Pinellas, you know, Paul, we don't live in that kind of a district. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
People here, you don't see this stuff going on.
No.
Look at St. Pete, what's going on over there now. Rick Christman ought to be ashamed of himself.
What's going on over there?
Piece of work he is. Are you kidding me? Black Lives Matter is there. Harassing older people, telling them that they're going to tip their tables over on them, they're going to beat them up. That siren's probably heading to St. Pete right now.
So
anyway,
there was an incident in St. Pete, is that right? Are you talking about an incident in St. Petersburg?
No, this is St. Petersburg. Oh, yeah, it's happened a couple nights in a row.
Where people have been accosted in restaurants?
Oh, yes, restaurants, okay. Tipping over tables.
You know, these
outside,
your votes for Trump.
Threatening them.
Yeah, this is you could not give Trump more votes.
That's right.
These are exactly just like the rioting right now in Louisville.
Yep.
And shooting police.
You could not
give Trump more votes.
You know, Paul, let me tell you something. Trump's got to kind of, he can't do nothing in his city. You know the rules. And unless they ask for help, the National Guard can't go in. I mean, the other night they went in, where was it, in Louisville? Boom, it ended, didn't it?
Yeah.
But You know, these people like Chris Kreitzman, they're allowing it to happen, Paul.
Yeah.
They should be ashamed of themselves. And the people definitely are going to vote for Trump. And let me tell you what, he can't do nothing now, but I can guarantee you after November 3rd when he's reelected again, like I said, those magic words that Bayer, that Obama said to the Russian ambassador, you know, when I'm reelected, I could do things differently. Well, I guarantee you after November 3rd, this stuff is going to be going on the way that it is now.
I'm going to go back, refer back to the C-SPAN, and somebody called in and they said, you know what? When Trump was elected the first time, I noticed a lot of Trump signs, you know, that were out and around the area. He said, now there are even more Trump signs that are out. And he said, also, these flotillas, these boats, and he's, you know, in Michigan.
They're all over the place with Trump signs.
So he is saying, look, I think it's going to be an even bigger swelling of people to vote for Trump this time around.
Yeah, Paul, like I told you, I'm still going California, buddy.
I know you are, but I would not go out, I would not stop at Las Vegas along the way and make a bet on that, though.
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty secure with it. Uh-huh. There's just too much going on, Paul. Too many people are fed up.
Yeah.
They don't want to listen. They're fed up with what's going on with the policemen. It's like I tell everybody how stupid these people are. They want to defund the policemen. They want to get rid of the policemen. Don't they realize the policemen are the only ones keeping these people alive right now? Because we're not going to break the laws. But boy, if they get rid of the police, do they know what's going to happen to these people?
What?
They're not going to worry about breaking the law. There's no police. The people are going to go after them. The party's going to be over.
We're talking with Andrew, the Master Barber. By the way, best haircutting salon for men in Tampa Bay. What about this question that was posed by a snarky reporter about whether or not he would leave the White House if he lost?
Oh, you know, they got nothing better to talk about. That's all they're worried about talking about when this country's falling apart. You got a moron running for president. They want to bring socialism, and they want to know if somebody's going to have to hold the president's hand to get him out of the White House. Come on. These people got nothing freaking better to do. That's what they call a B-rated reporter.
Well, here's the only reason I don't think he would hide under Lincoln's bed in that bedroom is he's a little large and it would raise the bed. But what if he was hiding, you know, down in the basement or something? It would make a great movie, wouldn't it?
Well, let me tell you, Trump would be like me. If he didn't get elected this time around and he had to leave the White House, he'd say, you know what, people? You're getting what you paid for.
Yeah,
believe
course.
Me, I'm out of here. I'm going back on my freaking yacht and enjoy your life.
Exactly. And by the way, Mitch McConnell said there's going to be an orderly transfer of power. And so you think, what do you think about the chances of our Supreme Court race being filled by that Cuban woman here from Florida?
It's a toss-up between the two women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he might tend to put the Cuban in because of votes. I just want to be sure that we don't have anybody that tends to lean both ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I want somebody a staunch conservative in there.
Yeah, well, both are. I would think he would lean towards the Cuban, but I don't even know if he has interviewed her. Whereas he has interviewed the other lady, that most people are betting is going to be selected. And by the way, that comes tomorrow. Did you know that?
I tell you, I hope he surprises everybody and says Judge Jeanine Pirro. That would be the most beautiful thing. But
yes,
what's his name? Did you see the basketball player the other day?
There's two of them that are both complaining a little bit. Charles
Barkley. Did you see how they had the Ruth Ginsburg outfits on the other day?
They had a what?
They had their Ruth Ginsburg outfits on the other day.
No,
the basketball game. LeBron James, man, he looks stunning.
Well,
you should have seen him. Hey, he looked almost as good as the judge. I'm telling you.
Okay, Charles Barkley has come out.
Yes,
and has sort of, he's a bit of a conservative. He was an all-star player in his time, and he's kind of poo-pooed some of these things that are going on right now. About police shootings. He's very upset about that. He kind of takes a conservative look at that. And he goes on the air. He's apparently not afraid to voice his opinion.
You know, Paul, you've got these black people that have made it in their lives. They've worked hard. They got where they had to go. You know what? They're embarrassed of what's going on.
A lot of them are.
Black Lives Matter. Okay, let's be real. It's like I said, the black population is 13% of the United States. You probably got a half of 1% making it bad for the rest of them.
Yeah.
But this is where the blacks need to come out and speak up against this stuff.
Most of the people in the communities, you would think, would go to the polls and say, you know what, I want to be in a safe community, and that's my number one priority, and I am not feeling that safe anymore with all of the violence, and actually, you know, vote for Trump. But, you know, every poll seems to show about 90% of black people are still going to vote for the Democrat.
Now, I don't know where you're getting your polls. I got completely different polls.
Well, you have the Barber poll. I know you've got a good poll.
I got that, and I follow other polls, and they've got Trump at about 38% of the blacks.
That would be something, because if he wins 38%.
And then they got 52% of Latinos.
That if he wins like that, he's got everything.
And they got Trump at 52% of approval rating among the population and 95% among the Republicans.
The one thing I am confident about is that a higher percentage of Republicans and Trumpers are going to vote.
Oh, they're going to be on
Biden's
supporters. If you think the vote parades or something, you haven't seen nothing.
Yeah.
Wait till you see the vote parade.
Yeah. Well, we're going to urge everybody to make sure they do vote and make sure that, you know, I think there is a way to double check even when you mail in your ballot that it has been received. But I don't know. People aren't going.
Like I say, if you're going to drive to the post office, may as well take it to the Department of Motor Vehicles where you know it's secure.
Yeah, I think that's
no question about it. I mean, you got to drive to one, you got to drive to the other. I don't trust the post office for nothing. Let's be real. They lose everything. They tell you don't put cash in the mail. There's a reason.
Yeah, they lost some Trump votes, it's apparently.
Isn't that amazing how they lose the Trump votes?
They're always Trump votes they lose.
I mean, what they need to do is they know where those are found. They know these post office trucks have all got GPSs in them now, and they need to find out what post office truck stopped and dumped those at those spots. But they could tell immediately, and boom. They need to can the person.
For those listening in Pinellas, where is the Department of Motor Vehicles office?
Well, the one that I know of is on 19 next to the Olive Garden. There's another one on Gulf to Bay.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, they're all over the place.
Yes.
And they have a vault in there, and they have two people guarding it all day long.
Yeah, in fact, I think the one that you're talking about on Gulf to Bay is near Belcher. I know where you're talking. And the one that you're talking about near the Olive Garden, that's North Pinellas. On U.S. 19. So look for the Olive Garden restaurant, and then that building is actually on the east side of the street, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
It is.
Very good,
and
sir.
And tell me how disgusting it was yesterday that these morons are sitting there booing the President of the United States.
We agree with you.
What a disgusting piece of trash they are.
They are indeed. And this is what it's come to. It's like, it's now fair game to belittle the presidential office. I mean, and when I was growing up, you would never have heard of anything like that.
It's disgusting what this country has come to. It's not the country itself, because you know what, Paul, we're bringing it back. And I'll tell you what, these people that are like this are going to be sorry, because we are taking back our country.
Yes.
Believe me.
Well,
they better hope they don't defund the police and get rid of them, because that's all that's keeping them safe. Believe me.
Well, please, would you give me your blessing? Would you give me your May the Trump be with you blessing so that I can go
you
in peace.
You got it, Paul. May President Trump be with you in your travels.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
It's always a pleasure. We'll talk again next week, my friend.
You got it, my friend. Be good. Bye-bye.
There he goes. The Master Barber himself. I always feel a little bit, I get down, a little worried about things politically, and then I talk with him and my spirits are raised again. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, a quick campus quackery. And our top 10.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And we follow a great program, Good Morning Clearwater, with Paul and Tracy, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Well, parents at a Las Vegas high school were incensed. A survey came out to their kids that asked how comfortable the kids would be around white people and whether they would have a sexual relationship with a black person. These are high schoolers, not college kids, right? West Technical and Career Academy. The principal said that the school is now making changes after the survey was given to the kids as part of an, quote, implicit bias lesson. Where is Wilbur when we need it? This is real campus quackery, and I think it's scary that they now are lowering into the high school level to ask these kinds of questions. These are kids that are just, come on, they're just finding their sexuality at that point, especially the freshmen and sophomores. Quote, we recently became aware of randomly generated questions in the survey that contain college-level content that may be inappropriate for high school students. Okay, so there you go. Before we get to our top 10, I got to talk with Ed. Ed, I am going to be rooting at the local sports bar for my beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, and now we've got one of their best players back, Stamkos.
We talked about that, remember?
Yeah.
Could they roll him out?
And he did, and he scored a goal like a minute 43 into the game.
Yep.
So, we're going to win the series. Now, I'm a little bit more excited
about
winning.
Well, this time on Monday, we could have the cup sitting at Amalie Arena, you know?
Yeah, because we're not only having a game tonight, are we having one tomorrow night as well?
Friday, Saturday, and then Monday if available, if needed.
They're going to be kind of tired after this game tonight, will they not? For Saturday? You know what I mean? The goalie. Do you think the goalies will still be the same goalies? Or will we see, for instance,
I think they're going to play it by ear. I think they'll trust their goalies to know when they're tired and if they need to be changed out on both sides. Because they've got Ben Bishop over there.
I was going to mention. Yeah. He used to play for the and did a very good job for the Lightning.
Yeah.
Some years back.
And also tonight, so make sure they've got the lighting on one screen and the other screen. They've got the Rays and the Phillies on because the Rays could wrap up the number one seed tonight with a win.
You know what? I should have started with that one because we kind of forget about that with the Stanley Cup, but that's great news.
They can wrap it up with a win tonight.
Yeah.
Or a Minnesota loss.
How many more games in the regular season?
Three.
Okay. Well, we're in like Flynn as far as going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Then.
Yep.
I am looking forward to that. Thank you, Ed. Okay, skedaddle, if you will, over to the drums. We have the top 10 shortest-serving Supreme Court judges. Tuesday, we had the longest-serving, and I won't ask you who you think is number one, Ed. I wouldn't have known this person.
Mm.
So, I find this to be kind of fun. So here we go, number 10. Horace Harmon Lurton. He served in 1910 to 1914, 4 years. Number 9, William Henry Moody. He served a little less than 4 years, from 1906 to 1910. Number 8, see, we don't know any of these justices. Well, we don't know them because they didn't serve that long.
Mm-hmm.
Barely got in there. Barely got fitted for their robes. Number 8 is Alfred Moore. He served April 1800 to January 1804. Number 7, hey, I heard of this guy because it was in the 60s, Abe Fortas. He served from October 1965 to May 1969. Number 6, Arthur Goldberg. He served from October 1962 to July 1965. Number 5, Howell Edmonds Jackson. He served from March of 1893 to just August of 1895. That's only about 800 and some days. Number four, Robert Trimble, June 1826 to August 1828. Not long. Number three, a Chief Justice, John Rutledge, and he served from February 1790 to 1791. Then he went off the bench. Then he came back on in August of 95, and he only stayed till December of 95. Maybe he went back to the farm. Who knows what happened with him? Number two, James Burns, July 1941 to October 1942, barely a year that he served on the Supreme Court. So here we go. Now, I'm going to tell you that this guy only served about 5 months. 5 months. I guess you have no idea, right?
No.
Okay, that's fair. Why don't you roll the drum? I mean, he just served for a cup of coffee. His name was Thomas Johnson, August 1792 to January 1793. Now, I wonder what happened. Maybe he got hit by a musket ball or something back then.
Yeah, I was going to say, why were they so short?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they die?
He probably died.
All of them?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know.
Guess some of them could retire.
That's true. And maybe they should. We have a lot of them that should have retired a long time ago, including the one that's laying in state right
now.
Yeah,
and the Democrats are really tarnishing her. They're saying basically that her legacy is tarnished now because she was selfish and didn't retire during Clinton when they could have gotten someone else in there.
What do you think about Andrew, the master barber, saying that maybe she's been dead longer than they're letting on?
Pulled a Brezhnev.
Yeah.
You know, just kept her on ice for
kept
a couple
going
months.
For a while, yeah. And they didn't want to. They were thinking maybe they could hold out and just say that she was in the hospital until the election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would have been kind of scary.
Yeah.
Very scary, as a matter of fact. Well, I think we are delighted that you spent time with us, my friends. And again, Freedom Works is Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. So we will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, and always remember that freedom works.
For so long, you and me been finding each other for so long, and the feeling that I feel for you is more than stronger. Take it from me, if you give a little more than you're asking for, your love will take.